there are two words, or relate, you might have a different phrase, but something related to this, two words that you do not like to be told or to be seen. Access denied. Sometimes on the computer, you're trying to get someplace, and it says, you can't go there. You don't have the administrative rights. Access denied. Maybe you're trying to get a hold of someone in customer service for a company. And you wait, and you wait, and you wait, and you wait. And then you finally get to talk to someone, and unfortunately, it's obvious that they're not going to be able to help you, so you say, can I talk to a manager? No, you cannot. Only I can help you. Access denied. Or maybe you've been driving down the road trying to get somewhere, and you get to a certain place, and there's a sign that's, in a sense, saying, access denied. You can't go down this road. You have to figure out another way to get there. We do not like being told or finding out that we can't get there or we can't talk to that person that we want to get to. But there's one access that will never be denied to us unless we cause it to be denied, and that is access to God. And what we're going to talk about today is that how God has granted access to us through his Son, Jesus Christ. And we will never have access denied unless we bring it upon ourselves. We're talking about the different portraits of the church, and I won't be preaching for a while now, and who knows, maybe I won't have to. We'll see how things develop, but the next 6 weeks we have some men coming in that will be filling the pulpit here. But just trying to share, you know, what is the church? And what are the portraits that God uses to try to help us get a picture of what the church is all about? Sometimes, as we talked about last week, a picture can paint 1,000 words, can tell us, you know, just we can see a portrait and we can say, okay, I get it. And so we know that in the Bible it talks about how we're, Jesus is the shepherd and we're the sheep, and how Jesus is the vine, the church, we are the branches. That Christ is the cornerstone and we're depicted as a building. That Jesus is the bridegroom and we're the bride. And last week we looked at the one about Jesus being the head and the church is the body. And we tried to emphasize how this points to the essential connection that must exist between Christ and his body, the church. Because in a human body, what happens if your head gets cut off? Your body's not going to make it. It may run around like a chicken with its head cut off, as we joked about last week a little bit, but ultimately the body will die. And we talk how vital it is that the church is connected to its head, Jesus Christ. Today, you can turn your Bibles out, because we're going from to a number of different passages. I will put them up here, but in Hebrews 4, 14 to 16, we read this. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. I think the text is very clear, is it not? At the beginning, that we have a great high priest, and that high priest is Jesus Christ. Then we go to another passage in 1 Peter, verse 5 and verse 9. It says, you also, and this is talking to church age believers, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. And then verse 9, you are a chosen priest, a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. These verses, I think, are very clear, that the church is people who are part of the church are called priests. They're part of the priesthood. So the Bible is clear. Jesus Christ is the high priest, and the church, we are the priests. Now, if you've been around North Valley for a while, you may have observed something. As Pastor James was serving as our pastor, I don't think any of us called him Priest James, did we? He may have been called priest outside of our church sometimes, but nobody ever called him Priest James. We called him Pastor James. We could have called him Elder James, and we could have called him Bishop James. We talked about that a few weeks ago. And there's a reason. I mean, he could have been called Priest James, but we could have had Priest Tina, Priest Audrey, Priest Bill, Priest Dave and Daniel, because the Bible says we're all priests. Now, we don't normally go around talking about that, but as we get into the text today, I think we're going to realize, you know, if I am really a priest, part of a priesthood, I wonder what kind of implications that has for me. This portrait that we're going to look at today points to the access that the church has to God through Christ and the resulting sacrifices of service that should be evident. The access. So when we talked about Christ being the head, the church being the body, that talked about the vital connection that has to exist. This portrait talks about the access that those who are part of the church have to God because of Jesus Christ. I probably don't have to tell you that there are other religious groups that would teach that this is not the case. That you only really have access to God through other administrators, religious leaders. There are some churches that will actually have a veil up in front here, so that when the communion time is taking place, the people out there like you would not be able to see what's happening up here because they would say you are not holy enough to be able to see that. That's not what the Bible is teaching here, because the Bible is saying we are all priests and have equal access to God. It's not just a Baptist belief, but it's definitely something that Baptists believe. And that is what is called the priesthood of all believers. That every believer has equal access to God. Last week we gave you these definitions, and just to go over them again. When we talk about the church, we're not talking about a building. We're talking about the people who make up the church. And we talked about how there's the universal church. That would be all believers who are permanently united by the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's what happens when we believe in Christ, that we're identified through the baptism of the Holy Spirit into the body of Christ. We're brought into spiritual union with Christ and with other believers, and it's between the time of the day of Pentecost and the rapture when Christ returns for the church. That's the universal church. But then we also have local churches like North Valley Baptist Church. This is it's in the local church that we flesh out what the true church is, what the universal church is. And that's what we want to be doing here at North Valley Baptist Church, just fleshing out what the church is supposed to be all about. So we come to this picture that Christ is the high priest. As a church, we are the priests. And the first thing we want to see here is that every believer in the church has access to God because of our high priest, Jesus Christ. Now, we have to understand, you know, even today, to be able to come into this place and to corporately together worship God, none of us deserve to come into God's presence. Because there's a problem. How can sinners access a holy God? We all know that we've sinned, that we're not righteous, that we don't deserve to be able to be before a holy God. And of course the answer, you know, how can we have access? Well, we can't unless we have a mediator. Someone that goes between us and God the Father so that we can indeed come before God. And of course, we have good news, because there is such a mediator, isn't there? And that God has provided for us His Son, Jesus Christ, and His righteousness. It's not we don't come before God in our own righteousness, we come before God in the righteousness of Christ. And so we see that Jesus Christ is indeed our mediator. 1 Timothy 2, verse 5 says, "There is one God and one mediator between God and mankind, the man Christ Jesus." That verse is pretty clear, isn't it? How many mediators? One. One God, one mediator between God and mankind. And it identifies it very specifically. The man, Christ Jesus. So Christ Jesus is the only way through which we can approach God. He's the one who died on Calvary's cross, that His blood was shed for our sins. It's His righteousness that becomes our righteousness if we put our faith and trust in Christ. If the question is asked to you, why should God let you into heaven? You would say, because of the blood of Jesus Christ, because of His righteousness. He is my mediator. We also see that He is our source of eternal salvation. Let's look at a couple passages in the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 7, it says, "Therefore He is able to save completely," the He there is Jesus Christ, "He is able to save completely those who come to God through Him, because He always lives to intercede for them. Such a high priest truly meets our need, one who is holy, blameless, pure, set apart from sinners, exalted above the heavens. Unlike the other high priests, He does not need to offer sacrifices day after day. First for His own sins and then for the sins of the people. He sacrificed for their sins once for all when He offered Himself." Another passage in the book of Hebrews that's similar, in Hebrews 10, it says, And by that will we have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Day after day, every priest stands and performs his religious duties. Again and again, he offers the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But when this priest had offered for all time one sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. And since that time, he waits for his enemies to be made his footstool. For by one sacrifice, he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. Those passages reference in the Old Testament how the Old Testament priests would have to offer sacrifices time and time again as a temporary covering, in a sense, for the sins of the people. But you notice how, if you go back to the Old Testament, you see it clearly. This passage references it in the sense that what did those priests have to do before they offered sacrifices on behalf of the people? They had to offer a sacrifice for themselves, because they also were sinful people. And here we see that Jesus Christ didn't have to do that. He just offered a sacrifice on behalf of the people. John Piper made this statement. He says, "One of the greatest phrases of Christian truth is once for all. It means that something happened that was decisive. The act accomplished so much that it need never be repeated. Any effort to repeat it would discredit the achievement that happened once for all." And I think it's important to understand Jesus Christ offered the eternal sacrifice, or He's the source of eternal sacrifices. He offered the one-time sacrifice that would last forever. He's the source of eternal salvation. Once for all, it was decisive. And any effort to repeat it would discredit the achievement that happened. We never have to wonder, was it enough? It was enough, because it happened once for all. He's our source of eternal salvation. And then he intercedes on behalf of the church. Just a reminder from that Hebrews 7:25 passage where it says, he is able to save completely those who come to God through him because he always lives to intercede for them. What does it mean that he intercedes for us? I think you understand that if someone intercedes on your behalf, that they are representing you in some way, they're coming between you and maybe someone else where there's a problem, they're going to bat for you, we might say. But here are some words that maybe can help us. Jesus is our advocate. He speaks on our behalf. He's our defender. He's looking out for us. He's, you know, making sure that you know, we have a proper defense. And we'll talk just a little bit about that. He's our protector. We know that Jesus is at the right hand of the Father interceding for us. And there's no one that can make a claim against us whereby we would lose our standing with God, not even Satan, who is depicted at least with Job in the Old Testament as going before God and sort of accusing Job of, Job, he'll curse you, God, if we take some of his life, health away from him. Jesus is there to protect us. Jesus pleads our case like a lawyer pleading the case of one he is defending. Jesus pleads our case, and he does not accuse. He's not Satan. Satan accuses the believers. Jesus does not. We sang that song, before the throne of God above, I have a strong and perfect plea. A great high priest whose name is love, whoever lives and pleads for me. See, this, our security, our salvation is never in jeopardy because Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father. And if anyone wants to lay accusation against us, if we've truly put our faith and trust in Christ, Jesus can say, he's covered. I paid for that sin. Jesus can say, I already paid for that sin. You don't have, you can't, charge him again and act as if he's got to now pay for that and that he's going to lose his eternity because of it. When we pray, Jesus is the one, he intercedes for us. And the ministry of the Holy Spirit interceding for us as well. So hopefully you understand that Jesus Christ is our high priest. It's not like he went to heaven and now he's done. He is actively involved on our behalf as the church, interceding for us, advocating for us, protecting us, defending us. And then we see that because Jesus is our high priest, that believers are invited to enjoy access to God through Jesus Christ. Again, some verses that we've looked at already, but just to remind you, where it says, we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. One of the verses we read at the beginning of the service today, therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus. Who does it say is able to come to the throne of God's grace, to enter into the presence of God? In verse 16 there of chapter 4, it says, let us, and who's the us? It's believers. It's not a certain group of believers. It's not saying that there's a human mediator that has to be there for us in order for us to approach God. It says, church, believers, you can boldly come into the presence of God through Christ Jesus. You do not need someone on the outside or an outside person to do that for you. You understand, this is really important. And so I'd encourage you, I mean, you know, some of you grew up perhaps in, you know, in different religious backgrounds where you were made to think that you had to come through a priest, even though you were a priest if you were truly saved. You have to come through a priest, or you have to come through another religious leader in order to really have access to God. And I encourage you, see the text. You don't have to do that. Also, understand, you know, God gives pastors to churches to be their shepherds. And shepherds love to come alongside the sheep to help and encourage them, to pray with them. But do realize that you don't have to have a pastor right there with you in order to pray to God. If you're facing a difficulty in life, it says, come boldly to the throne of grace. Now, there's any number of people here, not that we don't have to be pastors. But when we have a pastor, Pastor James was so willing to do that with us, and he still is. He doesn't have to be our pastor to do that. We can come alongside each other and encourage each other. But don't ever get the thought that, well, it won't be as valuable of a prayer if I don't have a pastor with me to do it. No, we are priests. We can equally come into the presence of God and ask Him. And so I ask you, do you come boldly before the throne? Are you seeking Him and looking to God for help to find grace in your time of need? That's such a great truth that we can be joyful about and utilize. God calls us to come through Christ. Who has access? All believers. A human mediator required? No. Now, we come to the next part. So we hopefully understand, you know, that Jesus Christ indeed is our high priest and what the benefits and, you know, what that is about. And now we come to the second part. Okay, we are priests. What does that mean? Well, let's review these passages in 1 Peter. You also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. And then it says, you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light. Every believer who's now, if you're a believer, you're part of the church, is to be involved as a priest in sacrifices of service to God. He would be no priest who should have nothing to offer, it has been said. So what is the purpose of access to God? We are priests. We have access to God. Well, the purpose of access to God is that we offer spiritual sacrifices as acceptable to Him. Now, we all like the part that Jesus Christ is our high priest, that we are called to come before Him, that we do not have to have an outside mediator, that we can do that directly. But now we have to understand, okay, now that we are priests and we have access to God, then we need to be people who are offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God. Every believer serves. What do priests do? They serve. They offer sacrifices. So what do we do today? Since we are priests, we are to be serving. Every believer serves. Some key terms. Let's go back. The priesthood. We talked about, you know, we are a royal priesthood. That's us. And so I am here on this earth to serve God and others. That's what you need to understand. when you think about this picture of the church that God has given to us, and you understand that we as church people, believers in Jesus Christ, are priests, then every day that we wake up, we have to say, I am here on this earth to serve God and to serve others. Uses the word holy. We're a holy priesthood. We've been set apart by God. The word holy means to be set apart. Set apart from sin is how we often understand that word holy, and we need to understand that word. But we also understand as a royal priesthood, we have been set apart by God for his service. He didn't save us so that we could be, you know, do our own thing. No, he saved us and made us priests as part of his royal priesthood so that we can serve. And then the whole idea of being holy, our lives have to match what we have been set apart for. If we've been set apart for the service of God, then how we live our lives needs to demonstrate that. And then this word royal, we are a royal priesthood. We're part of royalty because Jesus Christ is king. And we need to represent well Christ, our king. So when you understand those terms, it's like, okay, there's some responsibility here, isn't there? And then it talks about, in the Peter passage, it talked about offering spiritual sacrifices. Well, do we have any clue what those sacrifices are? And I think there are some passages that we can look at. And every believer in the church is to be involved as a priest in sacrifices of service. And what are these sacrifices of service where we are living as a priest? Well, our lives are supposed to be considered living sacrifices. You may be familiar with this verse where Paul says, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. That word that's used for proper worship is a liturgical word that would be used for priests. And as people who have been born again, who have been put into the holy priesthood, as we view the church in that way, then we are to offer our bodies as a living sacrifice. Obviously, it doesn't. We understand it doesn't say dead sacrifice, right? We're not supposed to be acting like we are a dead sacrifice for God. We are a living sacrifice for God. And we have to ask ourselves, is that how our life is? As others see us, as God sees us, are we a living sacrifice for him? That's a service, a sacrifice as a priest that we can make. And then we are to offer sacrifices of praise and thanksgiving. In Hebrews 13, 15, and 16, it says, through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God as a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that openly profess his name. And do not forget to do good and to share with others, for with such sacrifices God is pleased. Actually, two things that we're going to talk about here from this passage. But the first one is that we are to continually. It doesn't say when we feel like it. It doesn't say on Mondays we'll do this. The rest of the week we can do our own thing. Continually, we are to offer to God a sacrifice of praise. And then he says, the fruit of lips that openly profess his name. We're supposed to be people who, you know, use our lips to give praise and honor to God. As people are around you during the week and they hear the things that you say, would they know that you're a priest of God, that you are one who loves Jesus Christ, that the words that come from your lips are words of honor and praise? That's what is supposed to be happening. And then that next one, it talks about doing good works and sharing. The Hebrews passage that we looked at, do not forget to do good and to share with others. With such sacrifices, God is pleased. doing good and sharing. And I guess that, you know, reminds us, what are we, you know, there's so many different portraits that are given related to the church, and so many of them talk about how there's that connectedness that we need to have together as the body of Christ. And we are to be people who do good for one another, who share with one another. And then obviously that will expand beyond just our church here and the believers in Christ. But also to realize, why do we do those good works? Why do we do good? Why do we share? It's not for us, but it's to give recognition to Jesus Christ, our high priest, the one who has saved us. So our lives are supposed to be living sacrifices. We are to be giving sacrifices of praise continually. We are to be doing sacrifices of good works and sharing. And then this last one, we are to be witnesses. Remember that verse in 1 Peter 2:9. You are a chosen priesthood, a royal priesthood. Why? That you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. That word declare there is, you can think of the word advertise. That we are supposed to be advertisers for God. We declare who God is. We talk about the excellencies of God. And again, we have to ask ourselves, why did God make us a royal priesthood? So that we would declare who God is. We are to be witnesses for the Lord. Other passages we can go to, 2 Corinthians 5, where it talks about us being ambassadors for Christ. We are the representatives for Christ, and that's part of what we see as being part of the priesthood. So, we've very quickly this morning have gone over this idea that Christ is the high priest, and we are the priests, and that this portrait that God has given to us has pointed to the fact that we have access to God through Christ. And that because of that access, it's not just something we say, yeah, I can get to God anytime, but we understand because of that access, I now am responsible for sacrifices of service that should be evident in my life to the people around me. So, first question I think we all need to ask is, have you accepted the offer of eternal salvation that comes through our high priest, Jesus Christ? Again, remember, once for all, Christ died on the cross for our sins. And those of us who have accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior, we have the hope of eternal life. Nothing more has to be done. No other sacrifices have to be made. Jesus Christ has done it. And if you are here and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, I urge you, talk to one of us. We want to continue to guide you through Scripture. Even right now, if you're sure that you understand, you can just ask Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior, to bring you into his royal priesthood. Then are you utilizing the access to God available to you as a priest? Do you pray? Do you pray regularly? Do you pray often? God's given us such a great gift of being able to come into his presence because of the righteousness of Christ. I trust that we are boldly using that access and bringing things to him. As a church, I hope we will boldly be in his presence as we seek our next pastor. It's so important to be coming into his presence to do that. And then, are you doing what priests are supposed to do? What are your sacrifices that you're doing? Now, understand, because this is really important, we don't do sacrifices to earn salvation, do we? No, salvation is complete in Christ. But because we have been brought into the family of God, because we have been brought into a royal priesthood, we understand, well, now we serve. He's saved us to good works, it says in Ephesians 2, verse 10. So we want to make sure that we are doing that. Let's pray together. Father God, I want to thank you so much for this great privilege that we have of being priests in your royal priesthood. Father, that we have access to you through Jesus Christ. I pray that we would live this week with that understanding and that we would serve you faithfully because we understand that we are priests of God. I pray this in Jesus' name.